I'm Debbie Dashinger. Welcome to Dare to Dream. Be inspired to live big and bold and take action to turn your dreams into your reality. Go beyond obstacles and limits of your thinking. Accelerate results to catapult yourself to success. I'm a visibility expert who gives media makeovers to clients, booking them on media interviews and turning their books into international bestsellers with guaranteed results. Join me at DebbieDashinger.com. Dare to do great things. Dare to shine. It's all about you becoming a visionary and leading the pack. Welcome to your daring new life. Hello, hello. This is Debbie and welcome to Dare to Dream. I'm super excited to be here with you. I want to tell you first, one of my newest discoveries is borax, B-O-R-A-X, seriously. I've been reading so much about it. And so just as an aside, because some of you will freak out, there are some people who take it. They ingest it 99% pure. And apparently it wipes out all sorts of evil things that like to live in our body these days, including autoimmune situations. There's a lot of statistics, a lot of articles I've been reading about it. So I got it. I'm still too scared to use it inside of me. But with everything I've been reading, I also read that it cleans everything better than anything on the planet. And I got to tell you, it is freaking true. I spent yesterday cleaning my tub, all around my house, my counters, and OMG. Whiter than ever. I even put it in the dishwasher and the dishes are better, cleaner than ever. It's a trip. So I'm going to try it on laundry today and then read a little more because I want to make sure I'm not ingesting anything toxic to me. But definitely for the house, the clothes, counters, oh my God, you learned it right here. So super excited because I've got somebody here who's going to be on a little bit later, and it's always nice to introduce you to somebody incredibly unique. Devin Gallaudet is here. He's going to talk about how he lost his dead father's ashes. And hey, so can you. Devin got himself and his father's ashes to Spain and to 50 other countries with $400,000 worth of free travel. Ta-da! He's taught hundreds of other people how to do the same. He's the editor and publisher of the In the Know Traveler online magazine, and Devin also publishes In the Know Bride. He's taught Kabbalah and occultism for over 15 years. So stick around. You're going to want to hear from this amazing man. And I want to give you, I guess today what I want to talk about really is about how to stop resisting. So I'm just going to sort of call out a friend of mine because it's fun and because she has no choice in the matter. My friend Siddiqui, we've been having the most hilarious conversations about resisting, right? She's got her own set of things she really doesn't want to step into, and it's like, and she'll do anything to put it off. And I have my own set. So I've been playing around with the idea of resistance and contrary action and having fun with it. So yes, when Siddiqui said she was suffering from resistance and she needed to do something, but all she could think about was how resistant she was and then how frustrated she was by her resistance, you know, in my estimation, we all, on some level, some plane, somewhere, we all have resistance. I'll tell you about mine. Mine comes up. This is so true. It's almost a daily situation. I'll have a really big project looming, and then I'll have other projects besides that one. And then I look at the one big important one, and my mind, my default is, oh my God, it's going to take so much to do this and complete this. I feel so overwhelmed about dealing with it that forget it. I'll just keep resisting it and do other things on my to-do list. So yeah, I've been playing with that lately. How could I have some fun with that instead? And what if, actually, that's a total illusion, what I'm telling myself. It's a total story. It's not even true. There's not even facts associated with it. So what if I actually take on that one project first? And I've been doing that. So often, I'm going to say like 97% of the time, I find that idea I had about how overwhelming and long it's going to take, it's totally not true. And when in fact I take it on right away, it's much shorter, much easier than I had ever anticipated. So the joke's on me, right? Resistance is just doing nothing but prolonging what I need to do anyway. So the question is for you, have you been following your bliss to finish things that matter to you? And we all have patterns like this. I call it having the courage to do the small. The small, obviously, taking tiny incremental turtle steps leads us to the large accomplishments. So maybe your steps are too big. Maybe you're an animal and your motivational system works the way an animal system works, but you're trying to apply an analytical approach and you put out a lot and you think, man, here I am just striving. But if only I was motivated. And then this idea that, oh, one day I'll be fantastic if I'll only just finish it comes to be, right? But really, what we know about training animals out in the world is when we give it high levels of reinforcement for very small moves, it actually is rewarded and does big things. If you wanted to train a killer whale to jump out of the water, you start by rewarding it just for coming to the surface. It doesn't have to come all the way to the surface. You reward it for advancing 4 or 5 feet. So it is for us. It takes courage for us to do the small things. Oprah Winfrey said, your deepest struggle can, if you're willing and open, produce your greatest strength. So ultimately, I now do not believe that it's about choosing the path of least resistance. When we resist, when I resist, I'm reacting to something that is not the effort, trust me. It's fear. It's fear of self-loathing that we might feel if we look at something small that we've done and tell ourselves, God, that's so pathetic and little. But inside of our mind, we're continuously generating stories about ourselves and these narratives, which are stronger than anything we might call objective reality. We're all looking for evidence to support what we already believe. And we can construct it out of gossamer. So we create our own mental afflictions by creating these narratives and comparing ourselves with others or comparing our performance with what we think it should be. The Buddhists believe that comparing mind is one of the greatest sources of suffering. An animal does not do this. When a beaver builds a dam, the beaver doesn't think about whether it's as great as the other dams out there. The beaver just keeps building. Listening to your body is the most powerful thing you can do to change your life. So remember, your inner animal is going to trust you if you tell it the truth. And if your inner animal works bravely and proudly for 10 minutes, doing something small to move your project forward as you asked it to, then give it a rest, give it a reward, let it feel loved so it will keep working for you. And then after the 10 minutes and the reward and the rest, if you get excited, you want to keep doing what you've been doing, you can come back to it later in the day and do more. It's about motivating your inner animal through routine and reward until you become actually enchanted by the activity and the project. So that's my suggestion and where I've been playing lately. That's really changing my old default into something much easier, lighter, and more fun. And just for today, all of us, we can be kind to ourselves. We can shower ourselves with jewels and rewards so that when resistance rears its head, in all seriousness, if you do the 10-minute thing, if you do the small, it can be the greatest reward that you ever offer yourself. Great movie, if you haven't seen it, called After Earth. It's been out for some time. After Earth, and there's a character that Will Smith plays. And a quote from Will Smith's character in After Earth is, "Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It's a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. Do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. When we realize that we are telling ourselves a story, on that day, your story can change." When we come back, Devin Gallaudet is going to share how he takes mystical secrets of ancient spiritual doctrines and turns them into easy to understand lessons for modern love. Devin has been interviewed on NBC and Fox TV. He's a contributor to the Huffington Post, among others, and his new memoir, 10,000 Miles with My Dead Father's Ashes is now available. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Radio sells with immediacy. Radio sells everywhere. Radio is the cost-effective medium. Go to ads@debbiedashinger.com. Reach is nice, but frequency is better. You're always on the front page with Dare to Dream Radio. It's an award-winning program syndicated on over 60 radio stations. Advertise and sponsor the Dare to Dream Radio show for optimal advertising results. Email ads@debbiedashinger.com.
Hi, my name is Arjuna Arda, and I'm the author of the new book, Radical Brilliance. Have you ever stopped to consider why Albert Einstein came up with the general theory of relativity? Emmeline Pankhurst got the vote for women, and Steve Jobs rethought the way we understand computers and cell phones, while many of us just watch in amazement and applause on the sidelines. What is it that causes some people to have original ideas which change the world? Radical Brilliance is the answer to that question. And it presents four very different kinds of subjective experience and brainwave activity, which when they come together in a human life, radically increase your chances of being brilliant. Come visit radicalbrilliance.com, where I've prepared a free 5-day mini course that explains all of the principles of your brilliant life.
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitation? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question, always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? beingyouclass.com.
What would you say if I told you that you could change your life in only 1 hour and all while lying down relaxing? Thousands of people all over the world have. What am I talking about? It's called Access Consciousness The Bars. The Bars is an energetic body process that contains 32 different points on your head that, when run, assist you in releasing decisions about any area of your life that you have made solid and, as a result, cannot change. The Bars is the first class in Access Consciousness, a dynamic set of tools and information designed to transform any area of your life. When you have a Bars session, the worst that can happen is you feel like you had a fantastic massage. The best thing that can happen is your whole life could change. Go to accessconsciousness.com today to find a facilitator, to schedule a private session, or to find a Bars class in your area. Are you willing to give yourself an hour to change your life?
Welcome back to Dare to Dream. This is Debbie Dashinger. I've got Devin Galladay here. He's the editor and publisher of the In the Know Traveler series of websites, which just celebrated 15 years. Devin also publishes several other travel-inspired websites, including In the Know Bride, which chronicles his endeavor to marry his wife in 100 countries around the world. Devin's wickedly funny memoir is called 10,000 Miles with My Dead Father's Ashes. It is a pee in the pants adventure. Devin has written for the Huffington Post, the Good Men Project, the Citron Review, Travel Age West, and Turkish Airlines Sky Life magazine. He holds an MFA in creative nonfiction, and he's a frequently sought-after guest expert on relationship and travel. He's appeared on Fox TV, NBC, Reinvention Radio, this show, the Experts Insight Publishing Awards Gala, the California Writers Coalition, JohnnyJet.com, the Jewish Journal, and hundreds of podcasts. Devin, lives in Los Angeles. And to learn more about him, go to the website of his name, devongalaudet.com, and it's spelled G-A-L-A-U-D-E-T. Devon, welcome to Dare to Dream.
I am so glad to be here, Debbie. It is crazy.
I'm so thrilled to have you. I really have been peeing in my pants, reading your book. I'll be in a public place in my own little world reading it. And all of a sudden, I mean, your point of view is so unique, how you process and experience your life. And I'll be in the middle of a very public place and just start laughing out loud and nobody knows what I'm reading. But it's really been a good romp, I have to say. So congrats on the book. I'm very thrilled for you.
I'm grateful that you're enjoying it. And it was a wild ride to write, as you might imagine, and experience why I would write it in the first place.
Well, tell people about that who have not yet read your book. It concerns your father. I'll say that much. So what is the premise of this memoir?
Well, the premise is that my father, and I say this with deep love in my heart, was a liar, a thief, and a con man. And I spent certainly the early part of my adult life trying to be just like him and nailed it. Mm. But that is not sort of a sustainable lifestyle. And I, at some point, kind of went in my own direction that had much more to do with legal things. And, you know, his seventh wife eventually called me and let me know that he had died. And that
was his seventh wife?
Yes.
I don't know how I didn't get that. Oh, my God. Okay. Keep going.
So she had, you know, she not only let me know that he had passed, but that his dying wish was to return home to Cadiz, Spain, where his ashes could be scattered to the singing of Ave Maria. And, you know, he wasn't Spanish. And then I took him anyway and managed to lose the ashes, as you said in the opening. And, you know, beyond sort of like the, you know, the absurdity of it, I think there's certainly a measure of, you know, many of us have had, you know, less than quality parents, while many of them were very, very well-intentioned. My parents certainly were, but they were nuts. Mm-hmm. And weren't really great at it. So, you know, I think part of the book, you know, I'm sure you'd be able to attest to this, is about how do you sort of idolize and love your father while he is like wholly unreliable and a bit of a ne'er-do-well and not all that trustworthy, but who still had a scintillating personality. And there was no way for me to not... like, there's no way for me to look at him and go, wow, that was still a great guy, an unreliable dud in many ways. But still, so I think at the end of it, it was like, how do you not have a sense of humor out of the own absurdity of your own life?
Well, I'm curious when I hear you say that, a dad who was a liar, a thief, a con man, but obviously very charismatic as well. And I know through the book, you really learn that you just really want this man's love and attention and connection. But it's also a big pain point for you through your life to have been abandoned at that level and at so many levels growing up. So what was the turning point for you that you get this outrageous suggestion from his last wife, Kathy, who says these were his dying wishes, and you really don't have a connection with him nor with her? And what caused you to decide, Devon, you know what, despite my past, despite my upbringing, I'm going to take this on?
You know, I wish I had some noble thing that I need to rise above my childhood foibles, and that would have been easy. But there was a part of me that just knew this was my responsibility. I knew that it was, I think there's a little bit of the Ten Commandments, honor thy father and mother, a little bit going on. And so as much as he, you know, pissed me off, There was just a part of me that was like, oh, this is my responsibility. Like, I think I would have been incredibly annoyed if she said, well, I'm doing it. I would have gone bananas, I'm sure, on some level. I just knew that eventually, she did eventually call me up and say, hey, you need to come get this guy. She said it in a much more loving tone than I just did. And I went and got him. And he sat on the dresser, sort of almost in my way of saying, you know, go kill yourself, even though you're already dead. So he sat on the dresser. And then there was really a kind of a seminal moment where I just remember looking up and knowing in my heart, and I remember even saying it out loud, it's time for you to go. There was just a thing. And so, you know, again, I'd love to tell you what a genius I am and what a, you know, perfect individual I can be. It was really just like it was sort of like it just needed to be. And that was the thing. You know what I mean? Like, and I was just kind of a player in that play.
It's interesting. So you've got his ashes, you're letting him sit there, you have this sense, okay, this is mine to do. And through your book, those who are going to get it, 10,000 Miles with My Dead Father's Ashes, it covers grief, loss, identity, addiction, and basically you come to terms with yourself and your parents. And I'm curious, the major pivot point for you on this book's, your life's journey, what happened in this entire trip that you took and losing the ashes and what ensued thereafter, what happened that has actually changed the trajectory of your life and who you are?
Oh, you know, I would argue that much of what I wrote about was absolutely changing my life, but there was one very specific moment where I grew up, my father would tell me these great gambling stories. And by the time I was 15, 16 years old, I used to deal out hands of poker, all face up, with this sort of like, okay, here's my hand. How do I win with it? What do I need to do? And I dealt out these hands compulsively, and I read books on statistics and probability and body language and a whole variety of poker-related topics. And I got pretty good in my very early 20s. And he was living in Vegas, and I remember sort of talking him in to going to some card game with me. And I watched him play, and it was like somebody killed Santa Claus, because he went from this really, in my mind, this very high-end, street-smart, ultra-clever, you can't get one over on me kind of person, not to mention a spectacular poker player, to like, oh my gosh, you don't know what you're doing at all. And I watched him lose. I mean, it wasn't, you know, huge.
Wait, are you saying this was his attitude to you, or you're recognizing about him, he doesn't know what he's doing at all?
It was my recognition. Like, I sat with him, like I had this idea in my mind that this was like a professional poker player, that nobody, he wouldn't be a mark for anybody. Like, that's kind of what I idolized him. And he's, you know, he's what I knew what it was to be a man. So those were the things, you know, he talked about gambling and poker. So that's what I wanted to do. And I wanted to do it well to impress my father. And we sat down at a card table in, where were we? Where I think we were in Bally's, an old casino off on the strip. And I watched him play. And it was like all of a sudden, all of these ideas I had about him as who he was kind of came crashing down. He was just there for action, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with it. It's fun to play cards and just not think of it in any other way. But that was not the image that I had built up about him in my own mind.
Sure. Wow. Big. I get it. When you idolize someone who's a parent and suddenly the very humanness of them comes out and it's a different picture than you had a story in your mind about. So big. And I just want to shift a little bit, because also what goes on around this story is travel, how you use travel for free to get yourself and your father's ashes where you need to go. It's pretty genius. So I just want to say, for people who do want to travel more, and you're someone who's been in 85 or more countries, how could somebody do that? And I want to add a little piece here. For me, as a woman, potentially traveling alone, that kind of adds a piece that maybe causes me to feel not as safe traveling around the world alone. How could I feel safe doing it? And how can we travel like you for free? Or what are some good tips for us?
Well, I think the main thing is, if you want to travel for free, then what you have to do is start developing relationships with people who provide free travel. The people who do that are tourism boards and convention and visitors bureaus, tour operators, even large hoteliers. You know, I mean, you're talking about when somebody puts together a multi-billion dollar project to build in a new resort somewhere off the coast of Mexico, they have a lot of money to make sure that their word gets out as much as possible. And part of the way the travel universe works is that they get people like myself who can provide the ability to get that word out. And really what you're doing is you're exchanging value. So I would love to say that it is free. I mean, it is. When I get on a plane, it doesn't cost me anything from the point that I leave to the point that I return. But I've been doing this for a very long time. But at the same time, anybody who has the ability to provide some sort of real possible measurable exposure, and that can be either from you know, having their own business that gets that word out, but it's also contributing to other websites and radio shows and television that also get that word out. So I don't necessarily have to build it, so to speak. What I have to do is make sure that I can actually deliver what it is that I promise. And maybe that's a video, and maybe that is an article or photography, or really, as you put it so well, you dare to dream, and you come up with the way that you can provide this value. I guarantee you, if you have a good idea, these kinds of outlets are more than happy to help you see the world.
Okay. I'm so glad you addressed that, because that was going to be one of my questions. So measurable. So they are basically tracking, making sure that you are giving them something. You're giving them new clients, new people who learn about them, use their facilities and so forth. And how do you find out? I know about building relationships makes sense, but how do you find out about these tourism or convention places?
You just type in Los Angeles. And then somehow Los Angeles tourism will pop up. And this is true of pretty much every country in the world. I mean, Burundi, which is a very small, impoverished country in Africa, has a tourism board. I think it's just one person, but it's still a person that you can contact in the outside chance you want to go visit Burundi. And that person in the tourism board will probably have contacts throughout the country to help you see more of it, if that's something that you want to do.
Wow, this is so big. I love, love, love this.
No, it's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. I mean, it's one of the ways that my wife and I saw the world and got married.
Yeah, that's a great story. And we're going to make people sit on pins and needles till we get to that in the next segment, because that's really super unique. I just want to ask you, because here we are talking about this, and for people who are feeling like, yeah, I love to travel, I haven't done enough, or I've done this much, I want you to talk about some of your experiences, because you've really been out in the world, bon vivant, if you will. And regarding travel for you, Devin, what can't you travel without? What must you have when you travel?
Oh, I mean, honestly, just a place to sleep, and that's not all that difficult to come by, and food. I know that's it's almost like a glib answer, but I don't think you need anything to go travel. Like, I've backpacked around the world, certainly during my 20s, where I'd sleep in a train station. And so I'm not suggesting that your readers go do that. I'm just saying that that you can do that if you're in some sort of a weird emergency. But most of the time, you know, I think a computer is really helpful. I think apps on your phone and the ability to use that phone mm-hmm. internationally is helpful. I think knowing how to say yes, please, and thank you in foreign languages, you'd be shocked. I know that you're laughing, but those kinds of things go a really long way.
Oh, yeah.
In making sure, like when you say yes and please in a foreign language, you know, to a native speaker, they know that you can't speak their language. But the fact that you tried actually makes a big difference. And I've developed all kinds of friendships around the world based on just my willingness to try. Even if I'm reading right from one of those like Berlitz instant language thing and I just read it, mm-hmm. I'm already ahead of the game. And even using some sort of a generic European accent or Spanish accent is helpful too.
1,000%. You know, it's the one thing I do. Just so you know, my dad worked for the airlines his entire life till he retired when there was a TWA, and he speaks five languages, so he's intercontinental. So I definitely have ancestrally travel in my blood. Mm. And there are certain things I do have some savvy about, but I will say, ¿dónde el baño? Or baña, or dove il baña, right?
Yeah.
Well, for me, baña, yeah. So I know in Spanish, I know in Italian, the very least, because I drink so much water every country I go to, where is the bathroom? And then I definitely learn the cursory things so I can get around the best I can and sort of honor and respect the country I'm in and the people and the culture. I can tell you, I attest to what you're saying. It has afforded me so much. French, the worst accent. Like, and you know, the French don't love that. But I will say, because my Italian accent is very good and my Spanish accent, sometimes they start speaking to me in that language, and then I'm totally lost. But they really appreciate this factoid you're talking about. So, great idea. Learn some of the language before you go. And it's so easy to do these days, right?
Oh, totally.
So many courses and books and so forth.
I was going to say something just about what you were saying about the French. And to some degree, that's absolutely true. It's more likely in Paris.
Right.
Than it is. In other words, if you're in many other parts of the country, your genuine effort is actually quite appreciated. But you have to remember, like Paris, you know, and New York have a similar vibe. You know what I mean? Everybody's kind of rushing around being their fantastic city of fantasticness. So they don't have necessarily the time to kind of just be kind to a tourist in the way smaller towns and cities would.
And since I started out the show about resisting and how we can get over resistance, when I did research on you, what I found out is that you have not yet been and feel you should, but somehow resist traveling to India. So what's that about, Devin? Why India or why not India?
Make no mistake, if all of a sudden something happened and I had an opportunity to go to India, I'd be on the first plane. That's not, you know, all I can tell you is that as a travel publisher, I receive submissions and original articles all the time. And anytime somebody says, sort of like in their pitch, exotic locale, they're immediately talking about India. And I think I have read so many articles about India that it may have, you know, I don't know if it turned me off. I mean, it sounds like it's an incredible destination, but it wasn't something like, oh, I need to, you know, I need to jump on the next plane to go do that right now. I do remember interviewing the head of Indian tourism. And I said, okay, so what makes India so unique? And he goes, well, it smells terrible. And he said that there are rats in the street and there's garbage and there's human disease and poverty. And, you know, like, and I'm trying to be kind, but goes on this literally a 2-minute litany of all the problems with India. And at the end, he goes, and that, my friend, is India. And he said it.
Don't go into marketing, dude.
Right. No, but he was like the cheese. He was the cheese of marketing for a period in time. Like every couple of years, they bring out sort of like a new cheese in different major cities. And this guy was in the Los Angeles consulate general's office. And he was actually quite brilliant because he was really making all of the things that would be considered a minus to most people who travel. And he was just like, no, that is a plus. Oh, and he really was like, no, and that is life. And he is correct. Like, I believe him. I believe him. Like, I want to go see it. And at the same time, like, you know, wow, man, you're a nut.
So you're repelled and you're compelled at the same time.
Yeah, no, it was absolutely genius. Now, it didn't work as much for me, but that's only because there's so many places I've been that I'm just really dying to go back to, or places I haven't been that are like really kind of sticking in the back of my brain.
Incredible. Well, when we come back, we'll be speaking more with Devin. And when we get into the idea of travel and relationship, which is the path we're going to go down, why would anybody get married 100 times to the same person? We'll ask this relationship expert when we come back. You're listening to Dare to Dream Radio. You can go to debbiedashinger.com and get a free report on publicity, how you can become the go-to expert, and you can be interviewed on media for huge results. It's DebbiDashinger, and get your free report. Stay there. We'll be right back.
When you walk through the world truly being you, everything and everyone is invited to change. Join Dr. Dane here in his unique classes on being you. Whether you've been asking for something greater, looking for a way to change your life, or longing to change the world, Dr. Dane's Being You classes crack open a world of ease, joy, and possibilities. For a list of Dr. Dane here's upcoming classes and resources on being you, go to www.beingyouclass.com.
Hi, this is Debbie Dashinger, host of the syndicated award-winning radio and podcast show, Dare to Dream. Do you have a dream inside of you? Dare to Dream is all about making people successful in a changing world. And the mantra is dare to create your dreams into your reality. In fact, dare to live bigger than what seems possible, because you can. We're live every Wednesday at 12 Pacific time on BBS Radio. You can also listen on iTunes, Player FM, iVoox, Stitcher, Spreaker, YouTube, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn Radio. Subscribe and leave us a 5-star review. As Justin Shank, our subscriber, wrote, an absolute rock star host who gets great conversation from her guests, motivation, inspiration, and insightful advice in this Do Not Miss Dare to Dream podcast. We look forward to connecting with you live every Wednesday. Dare to Dream. Hi, it's Debbie from the award-winning Dare to Dream radio and podcast, heard live every Wednesday at 12 noon. Question, do you want to be a published author? If so, you can apply to write a chapter in the new anthology book called I Am Still Here. Author spots are available to be featured in this book. Just go to debbied.net/anthology. That's debbied.net/anthology. The compilation book is going to receive global distribution, and it's going to be launched to a guaranteed international bestseller. I Am Still Here anthology is seeking men and women authors. First-time writers or seasoned authors can apply. Go to debbied.net/anthology. Become a published best-selling author this year. debbied.net/anthology.
When making the decision to hire a coach, find a pro who delivers. Debbie Dashinger is an expert with an impressive platform that gets results. Let go of issues and shift your life into brilliance. Go to www.debbiedashinger.com. That's DACHINGER, DebbieDashinger.com. Debbie believes that we are each meant to shine our light and fulfill our unique path. Hire a coach who delivers. www.debbiedashinger.com.
What is forgiveness like in your life? Is there someone right now that you need to forgive? Project Forgive is changing all that, teaching you how to skillfully forgive and finally get that freedom. Go to www.projectforgive.com. It's time you freed yourself and freed your dream. You're listening to Dare to Dream.
If you're tuning in after we've started, this is Debbie Dashinger on Dare to Dream Radio and Podcast. I am interviewing Devin Gallaudet. You can find him at devingallaudet.com as well as inthenotraveler.com. So, Devin, the big question is, you and Morgana, your wife, marriage 100 times. This is outrageous and awesome. And I know that for you guys, this is about destination weddings. So this is going to change everybody's view of marriage because for you guys, the honeymoon never ends. Talk about why do you do these fairy tale destination weddings with Morgana and how does that save you money?
Well, those are a whole bunch of questions all tied up in there. So let me do the best that I can.
Unpack them, as they say.
Unpack them. Okay, so the main reason why I did it is because it turned out to be a total goof that was sort of like I believe that I have failed my way into success on many levels. Mm-hmm. And we had just gotten married, and we were in Puerto Vallarta. And quite literally, I was on an assignment, and they said, hey, you just got married. Why don't you bring your wife along? And we did. And we were walking down downtown Puerto Vallarta, passing the iconic Our Lady of Guadalupe. And I just blurted out, why don't we go ahead and get married in there again? And my wife was like, absolutely. And quite literally, the woman standing next to me said, hey, I'm ordained. And I took off my ring and said, great, you're presiding. And we marched to the front of the cathedral, and it was open for business and people were praying. And this woman started talking about love and relationships. And while I'm still thinking, oh, this is just some silly goof, I was also thinking, oh, you know, there's things I did not have a chance to say in the original vows, and I should probably hit those. I should hit those topics. And I thought about how I wanted to support my wife's dreams in getting the things that she wanted out of life. What did she want to do, and how was I going to support that? And so while I'm still telling her, here's what I'm planning to do, and it's a goof to me, my wife was not treating it as a goof. The words that I was saying to her were very meaningful, and she was crying, and the woman who was presiding is misting up, and the people behind us in the pews were on the edge of their seat. And it took me about a week to figure out that, oh, this is something we should be doing all the time, because each time I say the vows, my wife knows that I'm invested in her. Mm. She knows that I'm on her team. She knows that I'm committed to the relationship. I mean, we haven't been married 100 times yet. We're in the process of it. So, but we've been married 20 times. And many of the weddings were quite literally my writing tourism boards and saying, hey, we are on our way. And by the way, do you have a Shady Glen and a hobo who can marry us? And they wrote back and said, we don't have hobos here. And we may have a better idea. And so because I had relationships with many of these people, I went out and they gave us outrageous weddings. I mean, we've been married by the Minister of Culture in Turkey in an 800-year-old farmhouse wearing 450-year-old wedding attire. A matter of fact, they had said, is there anything special you want? And I just blurted out, I want my wife to be brought in on a horse.
Wow.
And they did. They brought her in on a horse, and the horse had its own horse. So everywhere the number one horse went, the number two horse followed. And, you know, we had a wonderful experience. And my wife knows, and this is the most important thing, my wife knows that I love her and that I'm on her team. So she knows, even though the rest of the world may not get with the program, and, you know, figure itself out. And there's lots of tragedy and uncomfortable things about the world. She knows inside the confines of our home that I'm on her team.
How awesome. And what about conversely? Does Morgana come up with things every time you get married to say to you that have been really meaningful to you?
You know, she said a ton of meaningful things. I think it's more for me about how she says them rather than what she says. I think Morgana really loves my flowery language. When you know what I mean? Like under pressure to come up with some meaningful vows. But I think it's just when I know that she is invested in the relationship and that she loves me and that she supports me, which, by the way, she proves time and time again, how do I not be grateful and how do I not feel safe within the confines of the relationship?
Man, that's huge. I bet there's a lot of women listening to this like, I'll have some of that, please.
Honestly,
are you an only child?
I try to tell people this stuff all the time. And it's not even about, I mean, don't get me wrong, the destination wedding element of it is all wonderful. But some of these weddings were just like, we were at a hotel in Montenegro and the woman behind the counter was so enamored with what we were talking about in terms of our weddings. I was like, you should marry us. And she burst into tears and ran out of the room. And when we could coax her back in, she's like, well, what do I have to do? And she was not, English was absolutely not her first language, but she spoke enough of it. And I said, just read the script and you're going to marry us because you're special. Mm-hmm. And that made the entire sort of ceremony and the ritual of it all that much more special to me and my wife, because it was so obvious that it meant something to her. You know what I mean? And that cost us nothing. You know, I mean, get married by your grandmother. Get married by your children. Get married by whomever wants to support your happier life together. You know, because there's these little picture things. It's like, oh, my wife said something. She called me a name. How upsetting. And now I hate her face for 1,000 years. It's easy to go in that direction. But I think it's more important to have things that sort of like overpower the minuscule things that we're capable of being upset by. And getting married, you know, go ahead.
You know, I'm your agent, right? You know, I get 10% of everything. So what I want to know, Devin, is why are you and Morgana, first of all, live stream this stuff, people? And second of all, where is the reality TV camera? I know it's not about that. I know it's not about that. But at the very least, can we make a documentary out of this? I think it's fascinating. I really do.
Well, thank you. I mean, we did film a lot of it, and then we almost had a show that didn't come through. It was a bunch of hassles, and then life took over. And so I've been slowly editing, you know, little videos on this and putting them out. So there's a handful of them out, you know.
Oh, you have to. I mean, this has to, like YouTube, Facebook, we got to make a series out of this. I'm telling you, I'm all over this, people. So it's so funny. I love sort of the hyphens that you be out into the world. I think it's very cool. You're a very unique niche, Devin. So, I mean, you're a great author. You know, you majored in this. Clearly, you were built for this, your wife and the flowery words. And even as a reader, I can say how much I really enjoyed your book. So you are also known travel expert, relationship expert, and how beautiful you show up for Morgana in this way so she feels safe, secured, and loved. And I want to know for us, for you as a relationship expert, you say that we women are smarter than men. I'll take it. So we're smarter than men. Mm-hmm. So what kind of strategies, what kind of communications can we use as females if we're with men? What can we use with men to get what we actually desire?
Okay, so you may hate this, but I'm going to tell you the truth.
Okay.
So I think women are smarter than men. And when I say that, I'm talking about emotional intelligence. I'm talking about, you know, all kinds of intelligence, but I'm also talking about how capable they are for being nurturing and loving and supportive and building communities. I don't think men, and maybe I'll get in trouble for that, I think most men are not as good as that, whereas I'm sure and no doubt that there are many women who do not excel at these things, but by and large. And I think if there was a downside, it's that women quite frequently think, well, I'm connected to all these things. If he's not, he may be doing it on purpose. Like, I think there's almost this element of women assume men are as smart as they are in these ways, where I think women organically excel in relationships and assume, well, if the guy's not doing these things that he should be able to figure out that I like and he doesn't do it, well, then I'm going to take it personal. And the truth of the matter is it isn't personal. I think men are really great at moving heavy things, heavy objects, and figuring out puzzles. And those are great. But I think it's also really important within the confines of the relationship that the guy gets some kind of instruction. And I'm not talking about nagging and berating if he doesn't do it. Mm-hmm. But if, as an example, I have witnessed where somebody will say, oh, look at this dress. Isn't it a beautiful dress? Now, to another woman, that may be, oh, well, then I should get that dress for my friend, right? A woman will pick up on those sort of like little breadcrumbs of what the beautiful dress actually means. Mm-hmm. To a guy, it's like one in your ear and out the other ear. What's a doable thing, however, is I would love this dress for my birthday, or I love this whatever. I want you to do this. I love you. And it would mean a lot to me. I think in general, most men want to be the hero to the women they love, but we don't always, we're slow on the uptake sometimes. And so real specific direction is a winner without question, because we want to provide you these things. We just don't know what they are or how to do them much of the time. So whether it's a dress or to listen to me because I'm having really important feelings here, I need you to be here with me, then you are much more likely to get somebody who's going to sit down across from you and who's going to listen.
Wow. That's really big, because for a lot of people in general, they're used to not asking for what they want and need. Mm-hmm. So right on two levels, on a relationship level, I hear you saying this is what works. We have to be very clear and say very clearly what it is we want and need. And so that's great for the relationship, but it's also really great for our own development. Like, how important is that to say that out loud in our life all the time? Because I think often we'll get a hell yes.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think just like in my own personal relationship, you know, if my wife needs me to just sit and listen, I will. But if I don't know that I need to listen, I will default. I will default as a boy to wanting to fix things.
Right.
What I've gotten good at is saying, do you want boy brain? Meaning, do you want me to try to fix this thing? Because if it was me and another guy, it would be a no question. Guy has a problem. He says it to another guy. The other guy is just going to try and fix it. And the guy with the problem is not going to be offended by that.
Oh, I like that so much. I think I'm going to use that going forward. So I would not just say to my partner, by the way, if you could just listen, that's exactly what I want. I would also add, and by the way, I'm a girl brain. So if you could meet me there and just listen, it would be very healing for me and helpful right now.
Yes, I have also learned, and I pass this along, and it goes really quite well, is that's terrible. That's terrible. In other words, to offer empathy when it's deserved, because we don't, again, as boys, oh, you broke a thing? Well, let's fix the thing. Rather than, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry that that thing of yours broke. And so part of that, like, when women communicate with women, that's what they do with each other. And I think not to suggest that we shouldn't be men or that we should somehow, you know, be something that we are not in order to kind of placate the women we love. But I think it's also important to start learning a few more extra tools that will help make your relationship better, stronger, easier, all of that stuff.
Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have just a few closing moments to find out what is Devin still Dare to Dream. Subscribe to Dare to Dream. This is a syndicated show, so you're hearing us on radio, but it's also on iTunes, it's on Spreaker, it's on YouTube, Stitcher, and way more. Leave a review. Believe me, it counts. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
What books are you reading? Are you ready for a must-read? Winner of the Inspirational Book of the Year Award and International Bestsellers, Dare to Dream, This Life Counts by Debbie Dashinger, as well as the acclaimed Wisdom to Success, The Surefire Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams. Buy the books from Amazon today. U.S. Book Review and Writer's Digest said these are critics' picks. By Debbie Dashinger, Dare to Dream and Wisdom to Success contain gems to live your life by.
What if there's nothing wrong with you? What if you're far greater than you've ever given yourself credit for? What if it's time to know the gift and the contribution you are to the world and to like yourself a lot more? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything changed for me. Asking questions opens doors to infinite possibilities. And it's not about finding the answer. It's about being the question. Always. What I'm inviting you to step into is something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Gandhi, Picasso, and Aristotle all knew to be true. What if no question is too big or too small? What if anything is possible for you? What if together we could create a kinder, gentler, happier world? Is now the time? Go to beingyouclass.com and sign up for a free video series, My Gift to You. Beingyouclass.com. What if you, truly being you, are the gift and change this world requires? Beingyouclass.com.
When you walk through the world truly being you, everything and everyone is invited to change. Join Dr. Dane here in his unique classes on being you. Whether you've been asking for something greater, looking for a way to change your life, or longing to change the world, Dr. Dane's Being You classes crack open a world of ease, joy, and possibilities. For a list of Dr. Dane here's upcoming classes and resources on being you, go to www.beingyouclass.com.
This is Debbie Dashinger, Dare to Dream radio podcast. I'm interviewing Devin. You can go to his website. It's devingaloudet.com. It's devingaloudet.com and also inthenotraveler.com. So I want to start first, Devin. This is Dare to Dream. What do you next dare to dream?
You know, to keep writing and to not limit myself by the things that I'm capable of thinking about myself. So I'm actually working on multiple books right now. One of them has to do with getting married and love and relationships.
And people who want to connect with you, I know I've been giving out your websites, but any recommendations for what they might do, be, have from you?
I mean, in getting contact with me?
Yeah. How would they follow you or read your book? Where are these things?
Well, the book is certainly everywhere. It's on IndieBound and Barnes & Noble and Amazon, of course. It's available in bookstores. They can find me at devingaloudet.com. I have links to everything, as well as you can just write me a note there. And I'm pretty good about getting back with people because, honestly, I think we're supposed to know each other.
Mm-hmm. So nice. Thank you. We absolutely have to have you back. Devin, you've been amazing. Thanks for coming on the show.
Grateful, Debbie.
I end today's show with this quote from Gustave Flaubert. Travel makes one modest. You see what a tiny place you occupy in the world. Next week on Dare to Dream, I'm featuring Lisa Thomas. She works with Beyond Cellular Healings. She's an inherited energy expert and transformational guide. She will be working with call-ins, so you'll want to listen and call into that show. You can subscribe to my inspirational YouTube videos at youtube.com/debontheradio and go to debbiedashinger.com to get your free publicity report, How to Become the Go-To Expert and Be Interviewed on Media. Remember, the secret of success is having the courage to begin in the first place.
To contact the award-winning syndicated Dare to Dream radio show, go to debbiedashinger.com. Keep your excellent feedback and comments coming. Your host, Debbie Dashinger, is an expert at goal achievement, a media personality, an international best-selling author, and a keynote speaker. Debbie leads high-quality teleseminars on how to achieve goals, how to be a self-published best-selling author, and how to get booked on radio. All classes are at DebbieDashinger.com. Debbie's best-selling books are Dare to Dream, This Life Counts, sold on Amazon, and her second book, Wisdom to Success, The Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams, sold online at all bookstores. Tune in again to hear the next inspiring interview guest who has turned their vision into a successful reality. Want more support in making your dreams come true? Go to DebbieDashinger.com. That's www.DebbieDashinger.com. You'll see videos, MP3s, archived interviews, and amazing products sharing the secret steps to making your dreams come true. Remember to dream big with every expectation that your dream will become real. Dreams are free, so free your dreams. What do you dare to dream?
Here I'm standing now, waiting for my time to be all that I can be. It's so easy to forget.